Well, gas has come down pretty substantially.
Yeah.
Here in the state of Michigan, 422 as of today. The national average is 416.
Well, you know where I go.
Yeah, you go to BJ's.
361. So,
361. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But you're putting on savings on savings at BJ.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I get 15 cents off per gallon off with the special card that I have. So it normally it would be 15 cents more than that. So it would be, you know, 370.
Yeah, I mean, still
like
good.
That, which is still good.
Still below the average.
Yes.
But what's interesting here is if you look historically, what higher gas prices mean to the automotive industry. Previous oil shocks, even particularly from the Middle East, there have been a number of different moments in history where that has certainly impacted the industry, as Grant Schwab writes in the Detroit News back in the 70s. And then you go into the late 2000s.
Yeah.
Right during the financial crisis and the collapse, all of these things had a severe impact on the automotive industry, had a severe impact on us here in the Metro Detroit area. Are we seeing the same trends this time around, even though gas prices have come down a bit? Grant Schwab is our Washington correspondent with the Detroit News and part of our Mobility Maker segment today. Grant, good morning. It's good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
What are some of the similarities we're seeing to some of these other oil shocks historically and now?
So some things that are similar, gas prices are up. That's something we've been feeling at the pump now for the last several months. We have this sort of Middle East oil shock in Iran, which is something that we've seen not quite in the same way, but you know, having the same region of the world, similar impact on gas prices in this country is a similarity, but there are just a lot of differences. I think the differences say more than some of the similarities. And, you know, I can go down the list of differences, but I'll just start with the top line one, which is adjusted for inflation, the prices just aren't quite as high as we've seen in some of the other, you know, really big spikes you mentioned in the 70s and in the 2000s.
Have automakers, you think, learned enough from those past crises to avoid repeating the mistakes that allowed the, you know, foreign competitors to kind of gain market share decades ago?
That's a great question, and I would say yes, they have learned quite a bit. I mean, the 70s, I think, is a really stark comparison. I mean, that was a moment when the Detroit 3, you know, Ford, GM, at the time Chrysler, still had more than 80% market share. I mean, just to wrap your mind around that, 80% market share over the entire, you know, U.S. autos market. And they were selling gas guzzlers, and they were enjoying great success without a tremendous amount of competition in this country. And they were caught pretty flat-footed. I mean, that moment is really what gave rise to the import revolution, because they didn't have the, you know, the small Toyota, Datsun, Honda models that people really liked in that moment, that people really gravitated towards. And since then, there's just a lot more variety in the market. I mean, yes, you have all those players still here, but the Detroit 3 now, I would say especially Ford and GM, they have more diversity in their product lines. I mean, with Ford, they've had great success with some of their hybrids. GM, you know, they've done really quite well on electric vehicles the last few years. So, you know, they, and then all the other automakers, you know, outside Detroit, I think they're more ready for a moment like this. There are just more high fuel economy options available on the market that this kind of spike, again, while less severe than in the past, also there's just more product available that people might want to buy in a moment like this.
Yeah, I think that's really the key, is the landscape is completely different even than it was in the late 2000s, early 2010s. And I guess my question is, even when gas prices were climbing up near that $5 mark, they've come down substantially since then, but even when they were up to that point, is that really, like, is it high enough? Are those price surges high enough to make the same impact that it did, you know, decades ago?
For the folks that I've spoken to in the industry, they've said, no, it is not quite high enough. But they've also said it's just not high enough yet. Like we're still, you're right. Gas prices have come down a bit since the, you know, what was it, 3, 4 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, that we were up near $5. Now in Michigan, I checked yesterday evening, we're around $4.30 a gallon, which is still, you know, more than a dollar over where we were before the war. So yes, they've come down since the peak, but they're still up high enough. What happens if this war continues for another 6 months, for another year, for, you know, who knows how long? I mean, we've been all following the news. It could be over sooner than that, but a lot of folks have told me, hey, this shock is not high enough to change the automotive landscape right now. But if it goes for a very long time, maybe then it does start to change buying behavior in a way that we haven't seen yet. One perspective I heard that was pretty interesting was that, hey, this is already layered on top of affordability issues around the economy, certainly in the automotive industry. You know what kind of cars doesn't have affordability issues? It's these Chinese vehicles that we're seeing, not yet in the US, but we're seeing in Europe, we're seeing in Mexico. Soon you're going to start seeing some number of them in Canada. If this gets into the brain of the American consumer that, hey, I'm not allowed to buy one of these things, one of these Chinese EVs that will be really affordable, and let's say, you know, 6 months from now, there are still a lot of issues with gas prices. If that starts to chip away at the wall we've built in this country to kind of protect us from the non-market practices of the Chinese, you know, automakers, that could become a real issue. And it's not something we're seeing yet, of course. It's sort of conjecture, but that is kind of the number one concern right now for so many folks in the auto industry is China. So if this somehow is parlayed into demand for Chinese vehicles in this country, that's kind of scary.
Sure.
Well, Grant, we're seeing hybrid vehicle sales rise and the EV sales have kind of slowed. Now, are the hybrids becoming kind of like the sweet spot for drivers who want that better fuel economy without really fully committing to an electric vehicle?
Absolutely, yes. We're seeing a pretty significant uptick in hybrid sales, but I will pump the brakes, so to speak, pardon you know, the analogy, but we're still not close to 50% hybrid sales in this country. I mean, hybrids are still, I'm trying to pull the numbers up in front of me, but I think less than a quarter of all auto sales. And while it's been a successful product segment for, you know, a number of automakers, people still like their, you know, non-hybrid cars. They still like their big trucks that aren't hybrids. Like Ram sales are still, you know, very strong for, or at least this year, they've been on the rebound a bit more for Stellantis. So yes, this is an option that's available in the market, but we're not seeing a mad dash for everyone to say, hey, I need to get into a hybrid yesterday.
Really quickly, we have 30 seconds left. How does the UAE, for example, withdrawing from OPEC impact the landscape here too?
Well, I would just say that since the 70s, and really it's been in the last 2 decades, the United States has become less dependent on foreign oil. So I imagine there will be some price impact, but it's just not as sensitive as it was 25 years ago, certainly not as sensitive as it was 50 years ago.
Yeah, interesting. Grant Schwab with the Detroit News. Thanks so much for your time. As always, we'll talk again soon. Interesting piece in the Detroit News.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got it. Meanwhile, last week was a really, really strong jobs report.
Oh, wow.
Blew out expectations.
Yes.
We'll talk the effect on the economy next with Patrick Anderson. It's JR Morning.